Welcome to Tandem with the Random, a bi-weekly podcast featuring interesting people doing interesting things from all different walks of life. In this installment, we'll hear from Scott Ditzenberger, a lawyer turned director of the film Out of Place, which documents the Lake Erie surfing culture in the Cleveland, Ohio area. Yes, that's right, surfing in Cleveland. Out of Place has screened at a number of film festivals, including the 2009 New York Surf Film Festival, where it took home the Viewer's Choice Award for Best Feature. That's all coming up just ahead on Tandem with the Random for Monday, April 18th, 2011. Now here is your host, Brian Kelly. Hello, and thank you for joining me for another episode of Tandem with the Random. I'm your host, Brian Kelly. My guest for this podcast is Scott Ditzenberger, who I went to school with back in Brick, New Jersey. Scott wound up moving to the Cleveland, Ohio area with his family and eventually became a lawyer. Scott was introduced to some guys interested in making a film, and those guys then met Scott's Lake Erie surfing buddies. It was only natural that the filmmakers would decide to document the culture of surfing Lake Erie, and in 2001, filming commenced on what would become Out of Place. The film made its debut at the New York Surf Film Festival in September 2009 and took home the Viewer's Choice Award for Best Feature. In 2010, Out of Place was screened at the Santa Barbara International Film Festival, the Cleveland International Film Festival, the Taranaki Surf Film Festival in New Zealand, the Lighthouse International Film Festival in Long Beach Island, New Jersey, and the Honolulu Surf Film Festival in Hawaii. The film was also presented at an April 2010 benefit for the Surf Rider Foundation that took place in New York City. Scott was also interviewed for a New York Times feature about the Cleveland surfing scene that was published in December 2006, while Out of Place was in production. My interview with Scott was a bit lengthy, so we're going to take a short musical break and get right into my conversation with Scott Ditzenberger. Stay tuned.
Our guest this week is Scott Ditzenberger, a former classmate of mine in Brick Township, New Jersey, who is now living in Cleveland and part of the surfing scene there, which he and some others documented in a film called Out of Place. Scott, thank you for joining us on Tandem with the Random. How are you?
I'm doing great, Brian. I'm in a good place. There's this little art gallery right around the corner of my house in Lakewood, Ohio. They've got these couches. They serve beer and coffee, and they're playing the Shins on the radio. So I'm in a good place right now, personally.
Excellent. Sounds great. So right off the bat, many people listening to this have got to be saying to themselves, there's no way you can surf on Lake Erie. Why don't you tell our listeners about the surfing scene in the Cleveland area?
Well, just like the majority of people out there, I'd never heard such a thing. And growing up on the, on the Jersey Shore and just experiencing that beach culture, that beach lifestyle, not really learning to surf was one of my big regrets moving to Ohio with my family back in 1990. But like an urban legend in the back of my mind was this phrase, Surf Ohio. And I never really knew what to make of it. But I have to tell you, Brian, the first time I saw Lake Erie, I was just overwhelmed with the expanse of it. I mean, to call it a lake is really just a strange thing because, you know, you can't see the other side of this thing. It's massive. It's an inland ocean is what it is. And, you know, I met a buddy of mine at the University of Akron and told him about, you know, I think there could be waves up on Lake Erie. And he heard the same thing. And he'd grown up in Ohio and still never experienced it. So what we did was we waited for a big storm, and we drove up from Akron to Cleveland, about a half-hour drive, drove to the nearest beach, and not only were there perfectly good waves coming in, but there were surfers. And that was life-changing because I made friends with those guys and got dialed into surfing in Ohio. And I felt like, you know, it was like finding water in the desert, because I saw this was my chance to commune with the water and make up for what I've been missing moving away from the ocean.
Right. So let's talk about how Out of Place came to be. Now, you were a lawyer out in Cleveland, living in Cleveland, and a surfer, and now suddenly you become a filmmaker. So how did all that happen?
You know, I wonder sometimes myself, but the truth is I had this job where I was driving all over the Midwest and into Appalachia doing some really boring legal work for a corporate client. And the pay was really good, but it just wasn't fulfilling. It was boring. And I ended up helping two friends of mine on a 16 millimeter film project. And I didn't know anything about film, but they needed somebody to help them. And I ended up helping them out, making this black and white short film. And Brian, I fell in love with the creative process. My buddies, Tom and Darren, they showed me everything to do with the lighting, and I even got to do a little bit of camera work. And I just, honest to God, I fell in love with it. And I said, guys, you know, this is really sweet. I want to keep doing this. And we talked about it for a little while, and they said, you know, you've got some interesting friends surfing with you up in Cleveland. Why don't we make a documentary? And that was back in 2001. And 9 years later, we wrapped up filming. I mean, it was a long time in the making, because you know, we don't get good waves all the time. In fact, we hardly ever get good waves, and we had to just be opportunistic every time we could in capturing the waves. And it really was an evolution, because we realized that beyond the shock factor of there being waves on the Great Lakes, we really didn't think that was enough to capture people's attention, and didn't think that alone would really resonate with people. But the more we got into it, the more we realized this is more a film about the people, about the surfers. And we started exploring themes that not just surfers, but everyone could relate to.
Just a quick question. What is the water like in Lake Erie? What's the temperature? What is the water? What does it look like?
Well, I'll tell you what. When I started surfing there in the early 90s, the water was almost always gray. If you got, you know, slammed by a wave and went under, you got like this saline, like fuel taste in your mouth. It looked really foreboding. And, you know, there are really no waves in the summer, or even the spring. The waves are in the fall and the winter. And, you know, I'm not used to this growing up in San Diego and in New Jersey, you know, but in Ohio, I mean, it's gray and foreboding. I mean, it's really dark. And when these storms whip up on Lake Erie, the waves are menacing. And but once in a while, you'll get a good wave or two out of it. And that just sort of, you know, it spurs you on to get in there. And over the years, the water has just gotten tremendously cleaner. And I actually went out and bought a nice snorkeling mask this year, because the water is so clear, you can see down 10, 15 feet.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite a difference, Brian. It really is.
So I mentioned at the top of the podcast the many festivals where the film has been screened, but the film made its debut at the New York Surf Film Festival in September 2009. Is that correct?
That's correct. Funny story. Our editor, Kurt Vincent, ended up moving in with my wife and I here in Cleveland. And for about 6 months, we just worked on the film all, you know, every chance we can get. And then he ended up moving to New York. And I ended up moving in with him in New York City. And we worked really hard to finish. And we finished, you know, coincidentally, right before a deadline for this festival in New York called the New York Surf Film Festival, as you mentioned. And when Kurt dropped off the DVD, I think the writing on the DVD said something like surfing in Ohio, you know, out of place. And the directors at the New York Festival, they didn't even want to look at it. And, you know, they thought it was a joke, but, you know, they ended up screening it and they ended up loving it. And we ended up getting into that festival and, you know, just finding out that it's one of the most prestigious film festivals for the surfing genre in the world. And we were just so honored to be a part of it. And I brought in a lot of friends and family from Ohio and, you know, a lot of friends and family from New Jersey. And we had a good crowd and had fun with it. And we ended up winning the Viewer's Choice Award, beating out films that had 10 times our budget and pro surfers. And, you know, we have these marginal waves on gray, blizzardy days in Cleveland. And, you know, we're going up against, you know, these perfect waves in Tahiti and Hawaii. And just something about our film, they love. They love the characters. They love the perseverance. I think the people in our film, the people who make up the surf culture here in Ohio, are just likable. It's really tough to be a surfer here when it gets so cold, when the waves come so infrequently, but I think people can relate to that dedication, that drive that makes you, you know, stay in that lifestyle and just do whatever you can to experience the things in life that you are just really set on experiencing.
So for people who want to see this movie, it's now available on DVD. Is that correct?
Yes, finally. We're out on DVD, and you can order it on www.outofplacemovie.com, and it's a PayPal site. And hopefully in the near future, you'll be finding us in surf shops all across North America real soon as we work on our self-distribution.
Excellent. Well, what's next for you as a filmmaker?
What's next? You know, I have all kinds of ideas swirling around in my head. I definitely, you know, I want to stay in filmmaking, but I guess the truth is that the next project I get into has to be financed by someone other than myself, because and thank God I have a supportive wife and supportive friends, because I really, you know, I ended up quitting my job as a lawyer just to get into filmmaking full time, because I realized at a certain point, you know, this movie's never going to get done unless I just really give it my full attention. You know, it's taken years, and I really put myself in a hole financially. So I'm going to be a responsible person for the time being. And, in the near future, I'll be exploring some other opportunities, but right now I'm just really happy with Out of Place coming out on DVD and being able to share that with, you know, anyone who's interested.
Excellent. And you have to be happy with the Cleveland Indians so far.
Yes, 8-4. You know, I think they're right up there with the Phillies, close to having the best record in baseball. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned the Cleveland Indians, because, you know, a lot about our film is, you know, we wanted to explore the questions about, like, who you are, where you end up in life, and why you end up there, you know. And for everybody has their own unique, interesting story of how you exist in your environment. But for me, you know, growing up on the beach in San Diego, New Jersey, never in a million years did I think I would end up in, you know, a post-industrial city on the Great Lakes like Cleveland. But, you know, I am a diehard Indians fan now. And I really do like living in Cleveland. I don't know if it's in my future, but I really love the place. It fosters a lot of artistry, whether it's art or music. And I made a lot of friends here, and I've taken a lot of inspiration from the surfing community here. But yeah, it's funny where life sends you, and you know, I've been suffering with the Indians, but I don't know. I guess that's life. It builds character.
Yeah, so you got to be happy about that.
I am happy, and you know, Brian, one thing I have to mention: speaking of baseball, you know, I think the last meaningful conversation that I remember having with you was over how you were able to so successfully duplicate Pete Rose's batting stance. And this was back in Drum Point School in fourth or fifth grade. So that's easily 30 years ago. And I just want to tell the listening audience that I don't know how you did it, but you were able to hit out of that stance. And you tried helping me, but I just couldn't work it.
Actually, here's a,
I, my,
Here's a funny story. 1993, my family decides to we go down to Florida in June, and I realize I look at the schedule and the Phillies are going to be playing the Marlins. It was the Marlins' first year of existence, so I said to my dad, "I'm like, oh, we should get tickets, go see the Phillies play the Marlins down at then Joe Robbie and I can't even remember Sun Life Stadium or whatever it's called now.
Yeah,
and yeah, that stadium that's getting replaced down in Miami. And so we're driving down, and I then realized that Pete Rose had a restaurant at that time. He was also doing a radio show from there in Boca. So I said, why don't we stop and check out Pete's place? So we go there, and Pete Rose is mingling with everybody before his radio show, and he's talking to people, but, you know, I'm like, you know, I don't want to bother him. I'm just not into that. And, you know, I tell my dad this, but so the way I remember it is that my sister and I were on this motorcycle arcade game. Like you were on like a fake motorcycle and we're playing that. We're racing each other. My dad pulls me off and says, I told Pete all about you. He wants to meet you. I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. So I go up to Pete and my dad says, oh, Pete, this is my son I was telling you about. And he's like, oh, yeah, your dad told me you're a big fan of mine. I'm like, yeah, you know, I always wore number 14 whenever I played baseball. And, you know, I was at the game when you broke Stan Musial's National League hit record. He's like, oh, that was the last game before the strike, the baseball strike in 1981.
Wow.
And I'm like, no, it was the first game back from the strike. You tied Stan Musial with a first inning single off Nolan Ryan in the last game before the strike, and then he struck you out three times. He's like, oh yeah, that's right. And I'm like, how did I just correct Pete Rose? How did that happen? On something that happened to him, no less. But I have a picture of him, you know, me and him at his restaurant, and it blown up. It's not hanging on my wall right now, but we're actually looking at buying a, it's at my parents' house, but my wife and I are looking at buying a, we're in a condo now, we're looking at buying a house, so I'm sure that Pete Rose picture will be making a return to my actual house at some point. But people say we look like father and son in that picture.
So, yeah, you're still copying him, Ryan.
So it's a little weird, but yeah, so I actually did get to meet Pete Rose at some point. So that was kind of a weird,
classic.
Yeah, weird thing.
Well, yeah, you were a Philly, you were the Philly fanatic. I mean, you and I love those blue uniforms. Man, I remember begging my sister to buy me those. You know, they didn't really have jerseys back then, but they had shirts that replicated the jerseys, and I just remember begging my sister for that blue shirt with the red stripes on the shoulders and that red P.
Yep.
Love that.
Yeah, the powder blues, the baby blues. You gotta love those uniforms.
I love it. What, they gotta come back to that soon.
Yeah, they do wear them every now and then. There's a series coming up. I think it's gonna be against Atlanta. The next time they're in Atlanta, I heard them say on the broadcast that they're gonna be wearing, I think, three different uniforms during that weekend. Or during that trip to Atlanta, that next trip to Atlanta. So they might be wearing the blue away uniforms at some point.
If they have a Cliff Lee jersey in that powder blue, I'm buying it.
Yes, and of course, you know, actually, I guess Cliff Lee is really Montreal's gift to baseball. Montreal's legacy, right? Because he came over in the, what was that, the Bartolo-Colon deal?
Yeah, who's still pitching for the Yankees. I can't believe it, man.
Yeah, and then Cliff Lee, of course, Indians, and then, you know, Phillies made that trade, and somehow we got him back. So, good stuff. Good stuff.
Guys are going to be tough to beat this year, and Brian, it's just really great talking to you. I mean, after all these years, it's a really cool thing, and I'm glad you have this podcast, and, you know, like you, I find a lot of inspiration from artistic people. It's a great thing that you're doing.
Well, thank you, and You know, I want to see the movie, and I keep on, you know, it's something that I keep on wanting to do is to get a copy of the movie. So I'll do that, and try to watch the movie. But do you do any like local screenings, or do you offer it to like local libraries, local venues to do like public screenings of the film?
We screened out at Ohio State 2 weeks ago, and that was a near sellout. And interestingly enough, we took on a sponsor that you might have heard of. It's Homage Clothing, and they're based out of Columbus, and they create all these cool retro T-shirts. And their website, they're gonna kill me. It's Homage Clothing, Homage. They've got all these great retro shirts celebrating like sports history. But they're located in Columbus, and they sponsored a screening for us along with the Surf Ohio Clothing Company, and we had a great crowd down at Ohio State, and it just sort of like spelled out that we still have a lot of life in this film, because you know the bottom line is 99.9999% of the people still don't know about it, so it's going to be fun to keep promoting it. We have a screening at our local library next week, and some surf shops. I know the Beach House Classics in Bayhead wants to screen it as part of their summer film series, and we're not going away. We're gonna keep screening until people are sick of us. But I'm gonna pull some strings, Brian. I'm gonna send you a free DVD. How's that?
Excellent. That'd be great. You know, and you've had these, you know, I think you were at LBI at some point at a festival. Yeah,
Yeah,
and
we screened at Santa Barbara International, Cleveland International. We screened in New Zealand, Honolulu. One of my favorite festivals was Lighthouse Film Festival right down in Long Beach Island. Made a lot of friends there that I still talk to all the time. I think I'll plug Facebook here. But yeah, it's a great little festival, and the community is really taking to it. And that's the secret to a good film festival. You need community support, and I see that down at Lighthouse, and they're a great bunch of guys, and the Jersey Shore needs a festival like that. It's just, you know, foster, you know, inspiration and growth for you know, for people down by our hometown. And you know, it's because of a certain show. You know, I can't even tell people I'm from the Jersey Shore anymore without them laughing me out of the room. But, you know, as you know, the place where we grew up has a lot going for it. And a festival like Lighthouse is only going to help things along.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It's yeah, that Jersey Shore show just, ugh, don't get me started on that. But, yeah, it's been great talking to you. And I think that the 2 times you were here, I think first in New York and in LBI, I wanted to go, but I think I'm not sure when the one in LBI was, but I think it might have been around the time where I got married, so I think that was why I wasn't able to go.
Where are your priorities, Brian?
Yeah,
well, you know,
yeah.
We've got a lot of friends in Philadelphia. I think I'm going to work toward setting up a screening there, and we'll be showing in New York again. Our editor still lives there, so they moved to Brooklyn, and yeah, we're our favorite surf shop in the world is Beach House Classics in Bayhead, and we're screening there. Yeah, I'd love for you to come out and catch us, Brian. You know, the movie is really less about surfing and more about, you know, the choices we make in life. And I think I really think we were able to touch on some themes that everyone can relate to. It's not really, you know, just a surfing movie. We like to think that we were able to make something a little bit more introspective that'll make people think.
Excellent. Well, our guest for this podcast has been Scott Ditzenberger, producer and director of Out of Place. Click on the links in the show notes for more information about the film or visit outofplacemovie.com. Scott, thank you again for joining us. It was great talking to you after all these years.
Hey, the feeling's mutual, Brian. You hang in there, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Well, that concludes this episode of Tandem with the Random. Again, I'd like to thank Scott Ditzenberger for being our guest. Join me for our next installment of Tandem with the Random on May 2nd, 2011, when we will be joined by another special guest. As usual, keep an eye on tandem.wordpress.com, follow us on Twitter at @twtrpodcast, or like Tandem with the Random on Facebook for show updates. Until then, this is Brian Kelly. Take care.
The thoughts and views expressed by the host of Tandem with the Random are not necessarily shared by guests of the program. Conversely, the thoughts and views expressed by guests of the podcast are not necessarily shared by the host. For more information and show notes for the podcast you just heard, please visit Tandem with the Random on the web at tandem.wordpress.com.